Well, it's only Thursday again, and today's date is April the 8th. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. Hi all, and welcome to another THI show. It's been a busy week for me. Dozens of calls, both private calls and also help calls and state calls. So it's been a busy week. And this coming Tuesday will reveal part 7 of our From Russia With Love Plus series. And it will be at the usual time. And it will reveal much. So what's been going on around the world? Well, a family is thrown off a Spirit Airlines flight from Orlando to New York because of the hideous crime a 2-year-old child committed of eating without a mask. What short bus special types of adults did that? Also, there was an effort to dim the sun to stop global warming has been scrapped by the Swedish Space Agency, who announced that the program, funded by Bill Gates, has divided the scientific community and therefore will not be carried out. It's about time someone blotted the sun to Bill Gates permanently, in my opinion. Perhaps throw him in one of the underground bunkers on Epstein Island and throw away the key. As the fake state of Israel yet again tries to plunge the world into World War III by attacking an Iranian cargo ship again, perhaps that is linked to the over-publicised story of the Ever Given ship blocking the Suez Canal recently. Yet more clowning by the pariah state that holds the world to hostage, and backbone is required to deal with them and their weakened and in parts defunct old system games. A major doctor revealed in a detailed report that COVID is a vascular disease, not respiratory. And the chart revealed smokers were less likely to die or suffer from it. Oops. So now a smoke a day keeps the COVID away, as well as reps, and it also creates nitric oxide, which is beneficial and prevents lung cancer. Well, I never. As the iceberg circle and the life force ebbs away, the life rafts offered were all refused, and the icy plunge continues unabated. Any help from the others has now dissipated, and that renders the plunder pile mute. To have a rice dish served cold, you needed to carefully select your meat and veg. Dangling carrots over it will not suffice anymore. The US media has been banned from going to or filming the Mexican border. They've also been banned from filming the concentration camps run by agency-based private contractors. And I find it mildly amusing and somewhat annoying that Trump was called a white supremacist and fascist in relation to the border, yet the current government are being more fascist by the day. Why are they banning it? Well, they are telling you they are covering something up, just like the COVID narrative. And yes, it is annoying, but what a victory that is for the alt media. They are publicly admitting now that A, we were correct, and B, they have lost the narrative. The Texas governor, Abbott, opened up his state to full capacity and dropped the mask mandate in early March. Joe Latex Biden trashed Texas and said the governor was engaging in Neanderthal thinking. Oh, the irony of that. Dr. I Don't Give a Fauci also ripped Texas, saying it just is inexplicable. Why would you want to pull back now? Now, it's been more than a month since Texas has been fully opened, and the COVID cases are dropping. And Dr. I Don't Give a Fauci was caught flat-footed this week when confronted about Texas cases dropping. So he just said it can be confusing because often you have to wait a few weeks. Well, a few weeks, well, before you see the effect. Well, it's more than a few weeks, Mr. Fauci. It's a month. And he said, I'm not really quite sure. It could be that they're doing things outdoors. So, if Texans go outdoors, COVID cases drop. Yet, the Gestapo-style cops and officials have corralled people inside for a year. And Fauci admits dropping cases in Texas is due to people doing things outside. All fines for people due to the ridiculous sanctions imposed on people should be reversed and pay back after that Fauci statement. On April the 12th, the UK will partially open for business. Pubs, restaurants serving outside can reopen as planned next Monday, along with the non-essential shops, gyms and hairdressers, as England's lockdown is further eased, the Prime Minister said. Pubs and restaurants serving outside can reopen. Does anyone ask, is the first part of common sense, why it can open outside and not inside? Given for the past 12 months, the governments have been telling you not to go outside and to stay inside. So now they're telling you to go outside, but not inside. Confused, yeah? You better be. It is the other world's attempt at continued rank stupidity. Now, a report has come out from Amnesty International that was damning about the current global crisis, but I will highlight one paragraph. And in the report, Amnesty takes the opportunity to direct harsh criticism at some of the world's leaders. And the organisation writes that the handling in many countries was characterised by opportunism and total contempt for human rights, where politicians wanted to silence critics. Everything you know is wrong. They've been lying to my face. Interesting that they threw CIA in there. That was a Swedish rock group by the name of Easy Action. Right, let's get into the show. And I want people to remember this statement, because other statements have a tendency to slide. The US government won't issue so-called vaccine passports, according to the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. The government is not now, nor will be, supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. Perhaps the use of the word federal might be a future cop-out by saying it's non-federal. You know how these people twist words and sentences. Two women in Dublin, Ireland, have been charged with refusing to go into hotel quarantine, better known as concentration camps, after arriving home from Dubai. Kirsty McGrath and Naeem Mulready were arrested at Dublin Airport on Friday, and their solicitor said his clients were not aware of the regulations before they travelled to Dubai for surgery. Now, the women were remanded in custody with consent for bail, and they appeared at a district court on Saturday, charged with resisting going into mandatory quarantine under the Health Act 2021. Now, under the rules, people arriving into Ireland from a list of 33, or very Masonic, countries deemed to be of high COVID-19 risk, or people who land without recently having tested negative for the virus, must stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. Well, it's always 2 weeks, isn't it? And the solicitor representing both women said his clients would be challenging the constitutionality of the legislation, and he said that being reprimanded or remanded in custody would be disproportionate, given the offence they are charged with carries a maximum prison sentence of 1 month. Now, the court heard Ms. McGrath had two children aged 6 and 10, and Ms. Mulready had a 7-year-old child, and they had refused to go into quarantine as they needed to look after their children. Now, identical bail conditions were set for both women, which required to provide €800 and lodge €500 in cash, and an independent surety of €2,000, which is roughly about $2,000, of which €1,800 would be in cash and €200 to be frozen in each of the women's bank accounts, was also required by the court. Seriously. And both were also required to surrender their passports and submit themselves to a state-approved quarantine on their release. And they will be required to stay there for 2 weeks, although they will be able to leave after 10 days if they can provide a negative PCR test. Fascism in your face, as we warned near 12 months ago. And people ignoring it until it all unfolded is the real problem. You know, the solicitor, or lawyer, as we would say over here, is now challenging the law. They should have done that last year before it unfolded. And this is part of the problem. People leave it until it's too late and the horse has already bolted. And a former Crown Prince of Jordan is accused of trying to mobilise tribal leaders against the government, according to the country's Deputy Prime Minister. And Prince Hamza bin Hussein worked with foreign entities to destabilise the state, he said. Now, the Prince had earlier released two videos to the BBC claiming he was being held under house arrest, and he denies conspiracy but accused Jordan's leaders, Israel, of corruption and incompetence. Now, 16 people, including a former advisor to King Abdullah and another member of the royal family, were arrested on Saturday for allegedly threatening security. Now, in the videos, Prince Hamza, the king's half-brother, said he'd been told he could not go out or communicate with people, and the move is thought to follow a visit by the prince to tribal leaders, where he is said to have garnered some support. Now, his mother, the American-born Queen Noor, has said she is praying for what she called innocent victims of wicked slander, and the prince is accused of seeking to mobilise clan leaders against the government. Well, isn't that what all opposition political parties do? It's what the Republicans will do in 4 years' time, is it not? Garner support against the government. But is this any different to lobbyists? How come lobbyists get a free rein to carry out what they like, but a person or a group wishing to do the same is declared a radical, terrorist or a despot? And as for the royal families, and it's about time all countries moved away from these incestuous monarch-style closed-shop rulerships and give the power back to the people. A Trump plan to cut food stamps is now off the table after Latex Man said it is abandoning a previous plan to tighten work requirements for working age adults without children. And those restrictions were projected to deny federal food assistance benefits to 700,000 adults, a proposal that had drawn a strong condemnation from anti-hunger advocates. Not too sure that bill was making America great again or making America starve again, but there you go. Now, the US Department of Agriculture in March said it's withdrawing a Trump administration appeal of a federal court ruling that had blocked the planned restrictions on Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, better known as food stamps. Now, Trump officials had filed the appeal in May, 2 months after the fake pandemic had shuttered the economy and caused millions of people to lose their jobs. Not quite. It wasn't the virus that shut the economy. It was Mr. Trump. He ordered the lockdowns with funding from a certain person not too far away, I might add. Now, hunger and food insecurity around the US has surged during the pandemic, with 41.4 million people enrolled in SNAP as of November, which is up 13% from February before the public health crisis took hold. Now, despite that increase, the Trump administration told CBS MoneyWatch recently that it believed imposing tighter restrictions on food stamps was the right approach. Typical party politics of, look, we are the party of the people approach. The reality is neither party is interested one iota in the people. Otherwise, all those increases would not have taken place. And people have to realise they are self-serving puppets to the system. And if that was not true, life would be better here for millions of more people. So whilst they're tightening up restrictions on people who are short of food, the government is handing out money left, right and centre. Try five organisations with ties to Hindu supremacist and religious groups who have received COVID-19 relief funding amounting to $833,000, according to the data released by the Small Business Administration, which is a federal agency that helps small business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, the SBA gave the funds as part of its Coronavirus Aid, Relief and Economic Security Acts, and also the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Advance, EIDLA, Disaster Assistance Loan, DAL, and the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP. And all three programs aim to provide economic relief to distressed businesses and keep their workforce employed during the COVID-19 crisis. And here's some of the names and what they received. Vishwa Hindu Parishad of America, a Massachusetts-based company received more than $150,000 under PPP and a further $21,500 under EIDLA and DAL programs. VHPA's Indian counterpart, Vishwa Hindu Parishad VHP, was designated as a religious militant organization by the World Factbook of Central Intelligence, CIA, for years. A religious militant organization, and yet they received $171,000 of the American people's money. Now, VHP is an affiliate of Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, RSS, who are a far-right Hindu nationalist organization formed in 1925 along the lines of hardline nationalist groups in Europe, which aims to create an ethnic Hindu majority state in India. Now, RSS is the ideological mentor of India's governing BJP party and boasts of having the Prime Minister Narendra Modi among millions of its members across India. The next one, Ekal Vidyalaya Foundation of USA, an organization that's affiliated with the RSS, obtained direct payments of $7,000 and a loan of $64,500 under the PPP. Now, through its network of schools, mainly in India's tribal and rural areas, Ekal Vidyala has been accused of spreading the RSS agenda, which is nationalist, fascist, Hindu supremacy, and of promoting anti-minority hate amongst young children. The Infinity Foundation is another one, another Hindu nationalist organization with ties to the RSS. They received $52,000 in US federal funds in the wake of the virus, according to SBA data. Now, Infinity's Foundation's founder, Rajiv Malhotra, who is a right-wing author, is often referred to as the Ayn Rand of internet Hindutva, as the Hindu nationalist movement is known as. Now, Malhotra has been accused of targeting academics and scholars critical of right-wing Hindu groups and issuing divisive statements. He's also faced accusations of plagiarism, though that did not stop him from being appointed as an honorary professor at the prestigious Jawaharlal Nehru University in New Delhi. The next one, Hindu American Foundation, one of the five organizations. The Hindu American Foundation is a Washington-based advocacy group co-founded by the former VHPA activist Mihir Meghani, and they received the lion's share of the federal funds with $378,000 in PPP loans and another $10,000 from the EIDLA. Now, the HAF lobbies, HAF, to deflect any criticism from Modi's government policies on Capitol Hill, and the most recent being its vehement defense of the Citizen Amendment Act, which the United Nations described as fundamentally discriminatory, and India's scrapping of special constitutional status of Indian administered Kashmir, both in 2019. And there you have it. Make America great again, indeed. What a load of bollocks that meme is. 4 years on, sadly, there's zero evidence to support that notion. And what is worse is there is a massive increase in aid going out of America to these special interest groups, largely to weaken America, not make America great again. And the point is, we need aid in this country badly. There are few jobs, an aging population, a GDP rate plunging, foreclosures rising, bankruptcies rising, infrastructure collapsing, the standard of living plummeting, manufacturing almost gone, exports drastically lower than imports due to rogue trade deals, and vast amounts of our funds spent on a war machine that delivers zero benefits for the American people. We have to make these people accountable of where our money is being spent. Perhaps that's something to discuss in the activism communal gathering. The first witness in Benjamin Nutty Arsehole's Netanyahu, corruption trial has said that he was told to make negative stories about the Israeli crime minister disappear. No change there. And the former Walla CEO, Ilan Yeshua, alleged that he was ordered by the news website's owner, Shaul Elovich, to post content that attacked Mr. Netanyahu's rivals. And prosecutors said Mr. Netanyahu made regulatory decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars to Mr. Elovich in return for favourable coverage. Now, both of them have denied any wrongdoing. But the crime minister, who is being tried on charges of bribery, fraud and a breach of trust in connection with three separate cases, dismissed the hearing as a charade and accused the prosecution of a coup attempt. Now, he's been indicted in three cases known as 1000, 2000 and 4000. And in case 1000, it is fraud and a breach of trust. And he's also accused of receiving gifts, mainly cigars and bottles of champagne, from powerful businessmen in exchange for favours. So he's a prostitute then. Case 2000, fraud and breach of trust. Mr. Netanyahu is accused of offering to help improve the circulation of the Israeli newspaper Yediot Aharonot in exchange for positive coverage. Case 4000, bribery, fraud and breach of trust. As the Crime Minister and Minister of Communications at the time of the alleged offence. Now, he is accused of promoting regulatory decisions favourable to Mr. Elovich, the controlling shareholder in Israeli telecom giant Bezeq, in exchange for positive coverage by Mr. Elovich's Walla news site. The crimes in this country that has been committed goes way beyond one person. But let us forget, he is not an Israeli, but a Russian Jew. His real name is Malachowski. Out of the same line of people who ransacked Russia over 100 years ago, now ransacking the Middle East and America to boot. So the elections are going on in Israel, and here's some background to it, the usual skullduggery. And a senior Haredi rabbi is reportedly giving his backing to a potential Israeli government alliance with the United Arab List Party. Arab. Israel. Which has now become a potential kingmaker after Israel's inconclusive election this March. Shaim Kanievsky, who is considered a leading authority in the Jewish Orthodox community, gave an affirmative answer when asked about the possibility of the Israeli right forming a coalition with Israeli Arab parties. Now, the 93-year-old cleric and spiritual leader, of the United Torah Judaism Party pointed out that the ultra-Orthodox and the Arab communities were alike in many ways. Indeed. And Arab parties were more likely to find common ground with religious Israelis on issues such as secularization and family values, which would make them a better ally in preserving the Jewish tradition than the country's left-wing political forces, he said. Now, recently was the fourth election in just 2 years, which was held in March, but it failed to break the country's political deadlock, leaving 80% of voters unsatisfied, according to a recent poll. It's deliberate, is why. And neither the Jewish right-wing and religious parties who back Benjamin Netanyahu, nor the bloc of six centrist and leftist parties who want the long-time prime minister ousted, were able to gain enough Knesset seats, I think I said that right, to form a stable ruling coalition. Now, the situation means that the four seats claimed by the pro-Palestine United Arab List party could prove crucial in swinging the balance in favour of one of the blocs. But the UAL, United Arab List, leader Mansour Abbas appeared to be in no hurry to choose between Netanyahu and those behind his main rival, Yair Lapid. And he said, I've not ruled anything out. That'll just roll on and roll on, like I warned before the election. It is how it works. But what is interesting in what is a blatantly apartheid-based country called Israel, one has to ask the common sense question of how they can have a so-called Arab parties to begin with. Does that make sense? No? Then it's a program then, isn't it? And then we come to another group of special idiots. And there was a meeting in the past week, and it was the administration's opening volley into diplomacy with China. And it turned out was an international scandal that demonstrated our worst fears being realised. So instead of opening like adults with mutual respect in public before straight talk diplomacy behind closed doors, the US Secretary of State Tony Blinken, the new Jared Kushner, and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan went after China hard, only to be embarrassed in the end. Now, the Alaska summit was supposed to be the precursor to determine if the US President Joe Biden and the Chinese Communist Party General Secretary Xi Jinping should meet directly. Except the very first talk between the West and the East was a disaster. And now it seems unlikely the two leaders will meet. Team Biden had their first big foreign policy test with China and they failed, and there's no way to spin it. Even the media is saying the whole meeting in Alaska devolved into anarchy. You know, a meeting of world leaders was supposedly to determine if President Deep Ends is going to meet with Xi Jinping. But how things turned out, it is unlikely that it will even be considered now. So why embarrass the United States even more was the question in this report. And the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, just exposed how weak we are in dealing with China, and they know it. Of course, Mr. Blinken blew it. Why? Because he's playing to higher orders, is why. Blinken is born in and born to, and so has zero interest in making America look good like Kushner before him. He operates on behalf of Israel. Fact. And when will the media and the American people wake up to this in-your-face eroding of this country and its peoples? We got trashed on our own soil from the looks of it. and we didn't really respond in any way, shape or form, and we got rolled in front of the cameras. Now, the report says there are two possibilities for this. The one that seems to be generally accepted by nearly every news outlet is that Blinken and his team overplayed their hand and made rookie mistakes by going hard at China in the public eye. It was a disastrous blunder that may have inadvertently demolished any hopes of real diplomacy between the two leaders of their respective nations. Why did they do that? Because it keeps the war lobby in dollars and shekels is why. Now, the other possibility is this was intentional. Well, I never. And they knew exactly what they were doing when they called out China's human rights violations. They knew exactly how China would respond. They were fully aware that this would derail the efforts to bring the two most powerful world leaders together for a monumental summit that could determine the direction of the entire planet, and it all went according to plan. It is in the interest only of the Hebrew Anunnaki to not make governments cooperate. It's divide and conquer. That has always been their forte. And until we get people who are only interested in America's best hopes, not Kushner's and Blinken's, we're always going to end up with a bloody nose like we got this week. COVID BS, next section. As of March 13th, the latest CDC figures show 3,964 dead, 162,610 injuries, all since the vaccine. Now, what they don't record is the amount of people who have got COVID after receiving the vaccine. But it's safe, they say. Try telling that to the 3,964 dead due to the vaccines or the 163,000 injured because of the vaccine. So now they're going to slide in a name change. The COVID-19 vaccine AstraZeneca has now been renamed to Vaxzevria. Vaxzevria. Now, Vaxzevria is a vaccine for preventing coronavirus disease 19, COVID-19, they say, in people aged 18 years and older. COVID-19 is caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus, according to them. And Vaxzevria is made up of another virus of the adenovirus family that has been modified to contain the gene for making a protein from SARS-CoV-2. Vaxzevria does not contain the virus itself and cannot cause COVID-19, is what they're saying. So, let's have a bit of common sense again, shall we? The vaccine does not contain the virus. That report admits it. So the common sense question is, if the body doesn't recognize the virus, how can it counteract a virus it doesn't know exists? Oops. The EU, for their pure folly, has ordered 200 million doses from Johnson & Johnson, plus an option for further deliveries from the 19th of April, and they're pushing it forward saying only one shot is needed, whereas the others have two. Only one shot is needed for what? Is the great question. The European Union drugs regulator said the link between the AstraZeneca jab and a rare type of blood clot is possible. No shit, Sherlock. Citing 62 cases of the side effect which forced Germany to restrict it to elder people amid growing concerns about the side effects. 8 out of 10 medical staff in Korea who were given AstraZeneca's coronavirus vaccine have reported systemic side effects. And it was reported there were 7.2 times more adverse reactions from AstraZeneca than the Pfizer jabs. Now, there was an online survey in March amongst 532 medical workers there who recently received their jabs. And some 501 were given the AstraZeneca and 31 Pfizer, and 82.7% complained of local reactions and 75% of systemic reactions. And the most common side effects are swelling, skin redness, and injection site pain, while systemic side effects included fevers, muscle pains, fatigue, and anaphylaxis. But there were 78% of AstraZeneca recipients that showed systemic reactions compared to 32.3% of Pfizer recipients. But only bizarrely, despite all those side effects, only 6.2% of people who were given AstraZeneca do not want the second shot. Hello, McFly, how stupid can you get? Although 29.9% said they are undecided. Yeah, they're waiting for the government to tell them what to do is why. Now, in contrast, 97% of people who received the Pfizer injection said they want the second shot. And the side effects that was reported came with the first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine and the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Listen closely. Younger people tend to be more prone to side effects. Now, out of AstraZeneca's recipients in their 20s, 85.5% showed systemic reactions compared to 84.5% in their 30s, 77.7% in their 40s, and 62.4% in their 50s and 60s. So, 62% was the minimum who had side effects. 62 out of every 100, rising to 86 out of every 100. But it's safe. Now, the results were much higher than a previous study of 18,000 people conducted by Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency, which showed only 32% reporting side effects. So now it's doubled and even tripled from the original test, which tells you that they've modified it. Modified RNA. mRNA. So, let's apply some common sense again, shall we? And let's get this straight. Before the lockdowns and the introduction of these techno jabs, we were told two things. One, young people were immune. And two, our own immune system worked at 99.97%. Then in came the vaccines with a maximum immune system of 90%. which for those who went to John Hopkins, that means our own immune system was a minimum of 9.97% better than any vaccine. Why would we take a vaccination when we have a cure rate that is from 9.97% to 36.97% better than the vaccine itself? And why, since the vaccine, are the youth now vulnerable to COVID all of a sudden? Does that tell you the vaccine is now given a whole group of people who we were told repeatedly were practically immune from the virus and are now suffering with serious side effects of COVID and also death? And so the common sense deduction is this vaccine does not work. And it puts a whole generation of our children in unnecessary risk. Next part, Geert van den Bosch, PhD, who's a doctor who has nothing against vaccines. He made that quite clear. In fact, he works, the virologist, formerly worked for Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But he says that the COVID vaccines approved so far have been developed by just brilliant people, and he has no criticism of them. But he told Dr. Philip Macmillan in an interview this week, please use the right vaccine at the right place, and don't use it in the heat of a pandemic on millions and millions of people. And he says that mass vaccination campaign in the middle of a pandemic with vaccines that don't prevent transmission is disastrous at an individual and global level. And he said we are going to pay a huge price for this, and he said becoming emotional because he's thinking of his children and also the younger generation, and said, I mean, it's just impossible what we're doing. We don't understand the pandemic. Now, in an open letter to the World Horror Organization, Bosch wrote that we are currently turning vaccinees into asymptomatic carriers shedding infectious variants. Mr. Bosch hasn't heard back from the World Horror Organization, which concerns him. And he said, it's about humanity. It's about your children. It's your family. It's my family. It's everyone's right. And it's simply for me, I have put everything at stake because I've done my homework. And this is a moral obligation. So there's another one who's not happy. Before we go into the break, this is an expose of sorts from a document of what has been going on connected to COVID again. Now, Bill Gates in 2020 said this: people act like they have a choice. You don't have a choice. Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population against COVID-19. Now, of course, these vaccines are subject to much controversy. Now, the official narrative as early as 2020 was that at best, such a vaccine might be a year or two away and might never be developed. An eventuality which did not stop politicians suggesting that a COVID vaccine rollout could be a precondition for the end of the COVID lockdown. That's the dangling carrots again. But the Bilderberger and Israeli Jared Kushner announced Operation Warp Speed, which is a largely US Defense Department-run vaccine rollout, which promised to make initial doses available by January 2021. Why would the Department of Defense run a vaccine? Well, of course, was it Exposé 7 or 8 that revealed that? Although nominally a joint effort, a significant number of military personnel is utilised in this effort, and by late 2020, vaccines were being given to recipients to much fanfare. So was there precedence for this? Well, in the 2009 swine flu panic, some governments, among them France and Germany, bought vaccines and or drugs, GlaxoSmithKline again, Relenza and Roche's Tamiflu that they later destroyed. And some third world countries showed little interest in obtaining them as gifts, as the flu turned out to be rather harmless. Now what these gifts are, is these pharmaceutical companies in the first world are allowing drugs to go out of date, or the ones they don't sell, they're repackaging them and sending them to Africa and India and poor countries. Now, doctors did not recommend vaccination at the time of the 2009 swine flu and said the risks seemed too high compared to the possible gains. Now, the German doctors believed that the health department had fallen for a campaign of the pharma industry, and moreover, officials got a different shot than the general public, and their version contained a small dose of the full genome of H1N1, whereas the rest of the population got a mix of toxic adjuvants and crippled virus parts called Pandemrix. Officials got a different shot than the general public. Well, I never. Now, the French MP Marisol Touraine said at the time the French people seem to be more worried about the vaccine than the flu. Yeah, he's right. Now, was there large-scale antibody tests as preparation? Well, at first, politicians like Germany's health minister, Jens Spahn, assumed that antibody tests could act as proof for immunity. But after he met with Roche's lobbyists, pharmaceutical company, in Penzberg, Germany, he reversed his position and echoed the World Horror Organization. Now, continuing the airtight logic that a case constitutes a person who carries a coronavirus, then anybody who is antibody positive constitutes a case and therefore is in need for a vaccination. Now, before 2020 and before the coronavirus, having antibodies did not necessarily indicate having the disease, but could also have meant that the person has had the disease and has now developed their own antibodies. Remember in, I think it was Exposé 3 or 4, the Italian story, where there was people in Italy who were showing up with COVID antibodies from September 2019, not 2019, long before the virus started. And the same applied in other countries at the time. That's why this probably airborne virus, bioweapon, as we revealed in Exposé 7, was out long before Wuhan. And that's what that's revealing. They're including everyone who's got over the disease and has their own antibodies by the immune system and classing it as a COVID case to inflate their John Hopkins numbers. So we also had deep state operatives involved in this. Nadeem Zawawi, who was the former chair of Le Cercle, a very secretive group that THI outed 1 or 2 years ago, I think. And he was put in charge on the 28th of November 2020 of overseeing the COVID-19 vaccine rollout in the UK. Now, there was some early trials and some serious side effects have been reported during the early trials, which, of course, wasn't revealed publicly. Now, the candidates in the mid-2020s were the mRNA-1273 mode RNA, NIAID, the AZD-1222, which is the Oxford University AstraZeneca version, AD5 vectored COVID-19 CanSino, which was operated by the Chinese military, and BNT162B1, which is the BioNTech Pfizer version. Now, Russia had a vaccine candidate, and on August 11th, 2020, the Science magazine reported that Russia had approved the world's first COVID-19 vaccine as the nation's Ministry of Health issued what's called a registration certificate for a vaccine candidate that had just been tested in 76 people. Just 76. Now the certificate allows the vaccine developed by Gamaleya Research Institute in Moscow to be given to a small number of citizens from vulnerable groups, including medical staff and the elderly. But the certificate stipulated that the vaccine cannot be used widely until the 1st of January 2021. I guess the vaccine, a bit like the virus, has a calendar attached to it. And that was presumably after larger clinical trials had been completed. Now, Gamaleya has developed vaccines before, and Mikhail Murashko, the Russian Minister of Health, said in a government press release that the COVID-19 vaccine showed high efficacy and safety, and there were no serious side effects. Now, the same release suggested the vaccine would confer 2 years of immunity. So it's not permanent. You all now know why after Exposé 8 to SARS-CoV-2 and the virus that causes COVID-19. Now, that estimate is apparently based on vaccines Gamaleya has made with similar technology. Now, the Russian President Vladimir Putin, or a version of him, reportedly endorsed the use of the GAM-COVID-VAC-LIO vaccine, which is dubbed Sputnik V, saying that it had passed all the necessary steps and noting that one of his adult daughters had received it. Now, Putin, who apparently made these comments at a government meeting, added, "I hope we can start a massive release of this vaccine soon." Indeed. And yes, he will know all too well it's all BS. Now, on the 12th of August 2020, it was reported that Western media had indulged in an anti-Russian frenzy to sow fear and doubt about the vaccine based on a willful misinterpretation of the Russian announcement, where they said Russia has not approved a vaccine against COVID-19 and is not skipping large-scale clinical trials. But then the promotion came in. Heavy COVID censorship was evident already by April 2020 of any dissent from the World Horror Organization's official narrative, which then began fueling skepticism about it and the big pharma lobby promoting a vaccine as a mandated response to COVID-19, which was undermining personal sovereignty. Mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations, starting as early as March 2020, and the commercially controlled media have been stoking fear of COVID-19 and promoting the idea of COVID-19 vaccinations being mandatory and possibly every year. Now, if you don't remember what was in expose 7 or 8, why is it now gone from a one-off to an annual event? Because these companies did a deal where it was not for profit on the original batches. The investors have invested heavily on the back of it being changed from a one-off vaccine to an annual version of it, or even 6 months. And then prices will go up, and then the vulture capitalists are going to make billions. That's how it works. Now, some national governments stated they were planning to mandate it for their citizens, while some others will merely make it impossible to lead normal lives for people who refuse. Hello, Israel again. And like I said, when it's rolled out as a yearly dosage, the vulture capitalists invested in this will make a killing cash-wise, and also death-wise as well. Now, the background to the worldwide vaccination campaign is the ID 2020 campaign to solidify social control by implementing biometric ID, also referred to as Phase 2 response. Bots, in other words. PSYOPs, who's involved in the PSYOPs? The military again, and also the agencies. Units like Britain's 77 Brigade have been given the task to fight misinformation, all vaccine sceptics online. The military are some of the fact checkers, or to give them their proper name, fiction checkers. And then came the smearing of critics. In April 2020, Novak Djokovic spoke out against mandatory vaccination because of COVID-19. And yet in March this year, a Serbian model, Natalia Skecic, reported that an unnamed person from the city of London tried to get her to seduce Djokovic while a hidden camera was operating, so that he could either be smeared or sexually blackmailed, just like we covered in last week's show. Safety. Byron Bridle, an associate professor of viral immunology, wrote that knowing the virus, knowing these vaccines, knowing these two areas of science, I'm quite confident that it's just a matter of time before we will have a number of variants that can readily bypass this narrowly focused immunity that these vaccines confer. So what he's saying is they're going to introduce variants that takes it away from the original version. So then we need another vaccine which will be rolled out annually. Well, even Bill Gates, May last year, points out that there are risks. And he said, so really understanding the safety at gigantic scale across all age ranges, pregnant, male, female, undernourished, existing comorbidities, it's very hard. And that actual decision of, okay, let's go and give this vaccine to the entire world, and governments will have to be involved because there will be some risks and indemnification needed before that can be decided on. In other words, immunity. In Gibraltar, Mark Crispin Miller pointed out that after the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine was delivered to Gibraltar on January the 9th, 2021, the island saw a huge spike in COVID-related deaths. Israel quickly vaccinated a large proportion of its citizenry in early 2021 and introduced a green pass, a so-called vaccine passport system, restricting entry to former public places. Norway warned the frail elderly against having the vaccine after fatalities in January 2021, and Austria suspended the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine after fatalities in March of this year. What a bunch of clowns. Well, I'm sure all our members will join in and sing this with me, because that is exactly what we mean. Indeed, is my answer to that song. Right. I said on Friday that we would introduce part TPC shows, and this will be the last of the THI, although there will be a couple of pieces later. I want to focus a large portion of the rest of the show on the TPC and what we're doing for those who didn't attend the Zoom. But this exposé kind of ties in some ways to the last one, and it's another deep delve into the hidden world of what goes on behind the scenes in war theatres and never reaches the media's doorstep to uncover, largely because the media, as Operation Mockingbird revealed, are all ran by intelligence agencies at the behest of their Hebrew Anunnaki overlords. And the first portion of this is called ISIS Mayhem, being fueled by drugs and arms supplied by Saudi Arabia and, go figure, the CIA. Now, it's the untold and often hidden history which underpins many of today's proxy wars, conflicts, and the horrific activities of death squads the world over. The strategic dispensing of narcotics in the military theatre and in guerrilla warfare is far more common than many people realise. In many cases, this is the X factor that fuels the mayhem and terrorises vulnerable bystanders on the ground. Now, aside from the traditional problem of substance abuse by the US military and others, drugs have played a pivotal role in many of the recent conflicts and tend to be a feature where the US military and covert intelligence are involved. Oh shit, Sherlock. Now, narcotics trafficking by the military has been well documented in US-backed wars in Vietnam and also Central America, specifically with El Salvador, Nicaragua, Brazil, Colombia, to name but a few. Then you add in NATO's 21st century opium boom in Afghanistan and other NATO narco wars like Yugoslavia, as well as in countless CIA-linked conflict zones featuring death squads in Iraq, Sierra Leone, Uganda, Rwanda, and Angola. This issue is very real. Now, here are some of the examples of the narco-guerrilla warfare phenomena, which are numerous. And a UNICEF report explains children in these war theatres are often deliberately brutalised in order to harden them into more ruthless soldiers. In some conflicts, children have been forced to commit atrocities even against their own families. In Sierra Leone, for example, the Revolutionary United Front forced captured children to take part in the torture and execution of their own relatives, after which they were led to neighbouring villages to repeat the slaughter. Elsewhere, before battle, young soldiers have been given amphetamines, tranquilizers and other drugs to increase their courage and to dull their sensitivity to pain. Now, the drugs are coupled with sexual exploitation in order to help war planners retain cadres of militant recruits. And these reports have been commonplace coming out of the ISIS crisis in Syria and Iraq, but it's also been a fixture in other US-linked dirty wars. UNICEF adds here, for girls, recruitment may lead to sexual slavery. And the report notes that in Uganda, for instance, young girls abducted by rebel forces were commonly divided up and allocated to soldiers to serve as their wives. And a case study from Honduras prepared for the Machel report illustrates one child's brutal experience of joining armed groups. But Western destabilization merchants know well the effects that depravity brings when it's unleashed on poor populations through militarized violence, drugs, and also sexual abuse. And they know that the scars will run deep, and it guarantees sectarian divisions for generations. Divide and conquer, you see. Which allows external powers to maintain a hand in managing the division. Next category, the CIA's deadly cocktail. Throughout history, wherever you find the corrupting combination of the CIA, drugs, or flood a region with weapons and US-backed guerrilla warfare, the result is always the same. The most brutal death squads imaginable. Now, the terrorist wave that took place in Iraq and Syria is no different. Now, the drug of choice for ISIS and other CIA-backed terrorist confabs like Al-Nusra Front seemed to be amphetamine called Captagon. Captagon. From Pentagon to Captagon. And The Guardian reported those effects explain why fighters from most of the warring parties in the conflict, with the exception of Al-Qaeda-linked groups, which mostly hold to a strict interpretation of Islamic law, are now said to be making extensive use of Captagon, often on night missions or during particularly grueling battles. So now, not only are Al-Qaeda linked to the CIA, which we've covered in past shows, but also Al-Nusra. You want to know the reality? Is all of the rebels and terrorists in the Middle East are CIA created and funded organizations, like all of them. And there is evidence of this being on a wider scale. When a Saudi Arabian prince was caught trafficking large quantities of Captagon, but because of Turkey's look the other way, because of border guard kickbacks policy, The northern Syria border cities like Kobani and Raqqa serve as major international heroin and captagon smuggling corridors. And the Kurdish gangs are also a key link in the chain, helping ferry narcotics to lucrative European markets. And recently uncovered was also the possible links between a Dutch organised criminal gangs and Kurdish operations in northern Syria. Now the Gulf states, full of wealthy, non-working, disaffected youth, are also a growing drug consumer market. And judging by the usual cluelessness or willful ignorance of the mainstream media, do not expect this CIA trade secret to get very much airtime in the West anytime soon. Well, now it has. They are very careful to not overly implicate the US gravy train known as Saudi Arabia. The drug smuggling Saudi prince and the story of Captagon, NATO, ISIS, Libya, Syria and the Nazis. So here is a question. Who remembers Gaddafi's claim back in 2011 that the jihadists and the NATO-backed rebels fighting to overthrow his government were feeding young Libyan men hallucinogenic drugs to fuel their violent activity? Because that's what he said. Bribed, drugged and supporting the devil, he said, was one of Gaddafi's more colourful descriptions of the armed gangs that were terrorising the Libyan people back in 2011. And based on subsequent evidence, it seems a rather pertinent description, and all the media commentators and journalists who made fun of him for saying it are now the ones doing backtracking, because as it turns out, he was correct. But the utter absence of proper investigative journalism or fact-finding in regard to Libya or anywhere else for that matter in 2011 was astounding. And the police in Lebanon arrested the Saudi prince, identified by the media as Abdel Mohsen bin Walid bin Abdul Aziz, on allegations he was attempting to smuggle 2 tons of amphetamines on his private jet, which simply reinforced the reality that much of the rabid ultra-violent jihadism we've seen from 2011 onwards has all been linked to illegal drugs. You want to know what the dot connector to all of this is? Well, I'll give you. The dot connector is the CIA, Mossad, Unit 8200, the fake state of Israel, and the proxy Israeli country known as Saudi Arabia. All of them are working together, committing heinous levels of crimes, death and destruction, all at the behest of their Hebrew Anunnaki overlords. That is the reality. Now, during that arrest, 4 others were held in Beirut in what authorities described as a drug bust, connected to the city's Rafik Hariri International Airport. Just a normal drug bust, because we don't want to implicate CIA, you see. That never happens. And in this instance, investigators said they found 40 bags of Captagon amphetamine pills and some cocaine aboard the plane, which had been about to depart for the northern Saudi city of Hayal. And it turns out that that arrest and story linked back to Gaddafi, Libya, Syria, and also the rise of ISIL and Daesh, both of which are Israeli-based. If you don't believe me, go and watch the series Mossad. They reveal it all too well. Mainstream media commentators and journalists laughed at Gaddafi in 2011, dismissing his claims as the delusions or lies of an old man trying to cling to power. Yet the evidence has now emerged from the fighting in Syria that many of the Syrian and foreign rebels were fueled by illicit substances. Syrian rebels have been captured and video recorded, clearly in drug-induced frenzies and altered states. Altered states is the key word. But the report says whether this explains some of the depravity of many of the rebels operating in Syria and in ISIS and ISIL in those early stages of the Syrian civil war, particularly in 2012-13, or whether they were just brutal, ultra-violent people anyway, is difficult to say. Well, unbeknown to the writer of this document, those people who took the drugs became host-possessed. Fact. So it's not them carrying out the ultra-violence or atrocities, but the dark spirit now ensconced in those people's vessel. Altered states. Tells you all you need to know. Well, the report goes on where they were shocked at the levels of violence that was going on. And it says, these are people, let's remember, that were, in some cases, among other things, beheading Syrian children and leaving their headless bodies in the street. But it's worth noting that most of the very worst and most brutal crimes of the various jihadists and militants operating in Syria occurred in the early months and the first year or so of the fighting, which was around the time the jihadists and militants were flooding into Syria from the freshly fallen Libya in the now well-attested transfer of both weapons and jihadists that occurred in 2012, and that was overseen by, well, I never, the CIA and the US State Department. Why are we even involved in it? Again, this is something the Americans need to ask. Why are we in these countries? Why are we wasting billions of dollars? Well, nearly over a trillion per year on these psychopaths. Now, Captagon, an amphetamine and psychostimulant said to be widely used in the Middle East, but mostly unknown elsewhere, was reported to keeping fighters in Syria on their feet during grueling battles and generating money for more weapons. And evidence was starting to emerge that the brutal conflict in Syria, despite having various causes, was also being fueled by both the export and consumption of rapidly increasing quantities of illegal drugs. Footage exists online of various Islamist militants, including Al-Qaeda in Syria or Iraq, where they were noticeably deranged. Their behaviour and their mannerisms are visibly a type of mania. No, it's a type of host. And Abu Sakkar, the crazed Syrian rebel who is filmed ripping the heart out of a Syrian soldier and eating it. All very Anunnaki there. Reminiscent, it has to be said, of the Libyan rebels, quote unquote, who publicly tore out the internal organs of Libyan army soldiers in Misrata early in 2011. Now, all of that is direct evidence of host possession. And this is why I kept warning about drugs. The demons have taken over. And to them, life is another energy harvesting feeding frenzy. Plus the increase in adrenaline allows them to feed more off of the host also. Now, the seizure of amphetamines involving the Saudi prince in Lebanon is just the latest telltale incident. It was also reported was a shipment of around 6 million, there's that figure again, same people as why, Captagon pills were seized, headed for ISIL fighters in Syria, and the accusation was being made from multiple sources that NATO itself began production of the drug in a Bulgarian laboratory in 2011. Well, I never. The Bulgarian connection brings in the CIA again, because the Eastern European Division, which is in Bulgaria, is there. Think Neil Keenan. Yes, he was CIA. Langley 2. Now, that shipment was captured. The shipment that was captured was the very same year of the Libyan and Syrian uprisings that they are now also producing the drug elsewhere too. Now, for those unfamiliar, the term uprising and revolution. If you think that's the people, forget it. Both those terms are now a code word for intelligence agency-based coups. Uprising and revolution is a code word for intelligence agency-based coups. But there is enough evidence to suggest that these drugs have been driving much of the most ultra-violent terrorism since 2011, first in Libya, then Syria and Iraq, and that the drug has been steadily provided by agencies within NATO, Saudi Arabia and possibly other sources from the very start. Indeed. Which, if true, would provide a very different context to some of the more inhuman, shocking behaviour of jihadists and extremists, including mass beheadings, or the setting alight of the Jordanian pilot, or even the sadistic rape, yes I said rape, sadistic rape and murder of Gaddafi himself in October 2011. And these substances and their proliferation would have, in all likelihood, been intended to create manic behaviour and possibly increase susceptibility to following morally questionable orders. And it seems possible that some of the particularly barbaric crimes were being committed by people on these substances. But considering how many of those whose bloodlust was deliberately amplified and utilised for the purposes of the bloody revolutions in Libya and Syria, then subsequently went and joined ISIL Daesh, either in Syria, Iraq or Libya, it tends to beg the question of whether ISIL owes itself more to drug-induced mania than it does to religious ideas. Correct. But Gaddafi, as with most of the rest of his explanations in 2011, has been proven absolutely correct. And he had tried to explain right from the beginning that the Al-Qaeda leaders and operatives were giving young men free drugs and weapons and telling them to join in. And that this was how the violent events of February 2011 unfolded so quickly and also chaotically. But what Gaddafi presumably didn't know was that the terrorists were probably getting their drugs and other supplies from the various governments, including Saudi Arabia, who were invested in the downfall of Gaddafi and the Libyan state and then Assad and the Syrian state. The reason why the Saudis are invested is they are the proxy country of Israel, is why. Now, this element of Captagon in the violent jihadism from 2011 onwards, and in turn the rise of ISIL-Daesh, is interesting for another reason too. You will have heard numerous people over the last year or so compare ISIS to the Nazis or the SS in terms of their brutality and their fascist ideology. You want to know why? Because it's one and the same group of people, is why, aligned with the various agency-based minions. There was a German author and researcher, Norman Ohler, who published a book recently in which he revealed a new dimension to the rise of the Nazis. Specifically, that Hitler's armies had carried out their blitzkrieg invasions of Poland, which is not correct, and France, while high on a version of crystal meth, which kept them wide awake, feeling euphoric and invincible. Or stupid, is the correct explanation, if you ask me. Norman Ohler, O-H-L-E-R, reveals that the key strategic role of the methamphetamine-based drug, which was manufactured from 1937 onwards, no doubt by IG Farben, by the Nazis under the brand name of Pervitin, P-E-R-V-I-T-I-N, and was distributed amongst the Nazi armed forces. Now, according to these findings, based on months of research at military archives in Germany and the United States, the Nazi leadership was well aware of Pervitin's value as stimulant during combat. And having tried it in 1939 during the invasion of Poland, the German army subsequently ordered 35 million tablets of Pervitin for soldiers before advancing on France in the spring of 1940. And that invasion of France shocked the world at the time, the sheer speed of it. In just 4 days, the radicalized and zealous Nazi forces had captured more French territory than German troops had managed to secure in 4 years of the First World War. And Pervitin is now claimed helping the invading Nazis stay awake, keep going, and apparently feel great. And it's true to say that ISIL-Daesh, lightning capturing of key Iraqi cities, also shocked the world in precisely the same way, and was considered by most neutral observers as having been unprecedented. And Mr. Ohler, in his book, draws no parallels between the Nazis and ISIS, and states his research is purely historical. But Mr. Ohler would draw parallels if he understood that ISIS stands for Israeli Special Intelligence Services. Oops. And given that the rise of the so-called Islamic State has certainly been a cynically manufactured event for geopolitical purposes, I tend to wonder if knowledge of how the Nazi soldiers proved so effective early on has been used as a blueprint of sorts for the early successes of the ISIL-Daesh terrorists and the Islamo-fascists. Indeed, same people, same program. And the question being frequently asked of why the various Iraqi forces had been defeated so quickly by the marauding ISIL hordes, Perhaps it's a little easier to answer when we consider that those under-equipped and unprepared units found themselves under attack from hordes of insanely zealous jihadists who were high on psychostimulants, feeling utterly invincible, and who were already known to be barbaric. But the drug-induced feelings of invincibility, as with Hitler's troops and their lightning invasions, would also explain how these gangs of maniacs have been able to defeat the non-drug-taking Syrian army and earlier the overwhelmed Libyan army soldiers. Gaddafi's troops had no idea what they were up against, no idea why all these insane youths were rampaging along with Al-Qaeda and other jihadists, and no idea about the drugs or about the involvement of foreign American intelligence agencies until it was too late. Which is why Libyan soldiers were initially so quickly overrun and slaughtered in those early incidents in 2011. Now, when they attacked Syria, Assad at least had the benefit of foreknowledge, because they watched what was happening in Libya first, which may be one of the reasons the Syrian conflict has gone on for years, whereas the initial Libyan conflict was over in a matter of months. Now, as for the Saudi prince and that drug bust, one has to ask the question, because that was 6 years ago, isn't drug trafficking punishable by death in Saudi Arabia? This is the same country who executed a teenage boy for attending a pro-democracy event when he was still technically a child. But a major drug dealer would surely have to be dealt with even more harshly. That boy was executed for attending a pro-democracy event. Yet this drug trafficking dealer gets away with it. Somehow there are laws for one group and none for others, as we all know. He probably took his Day of Atonement in Jerusalem. In Exposé 8 show, we uncovered the US military engaged in biowarfare connected with the COVID, which also involved how they were creating toxic agents back in the 1950s, which involved missile-based toxic agents, and also rain or cloud-based toxic agents, chemtrails. And we mentioned about a secret country club in that show. And if you didn't believe the world's leading artists don't put truth and or piss takes in songs, the next song will reveal differently. Here is an excerpt reminder from that show. Like I said, it was all about toxic agents, rain and cloud based agents, chemtrails, and the country club. A secret meeting place was constructed for the MJ-12 group in Maryland and is only accessible by air. It contains full living, recreational and other facilities for the MJ-12 group and the Jason Society. It is codenamed the Country Club. The land for the Country Club was donated by the Rockefeller family, and only those with ultra-top secret Magi clearances are allowed to go there. What are the coincidences? But that's not related. chemtrails over the country club, really. Right, that's some of the THA stuff out of the way. I'm going to cover the Zoom call on Friday again now, and some pieces, a few pieces later on, and a final finishing piece. Now, we had a lot of fun and quite a revealing Zoom call last Friday for those who attended. And we may do another one tomorrow, an impromptu one. And I did say I would record it, but I only remembered halfway through. Anyway, the key parts of it were revealed, and tonight we'll go over the key points of it anyway. Now, there were several scenarios that had the potential to play out last month, and my intuition based or advised me to not make any moves or plans within that month. I had mentioned this in the end of year review part 3. Now, some were to do with Trump and some of the trustee, neither of which manifested. Others to do with dark magicians dancing again around the 21st, and this was prevented. Now, the new way of getting the funds out from the trust via some slag heap is also not valid as it stands either. And even if it is, I am not sure she will be allowed access into that town to do what she planned to do. Subsequent information that's came forward since confirmed that. Now, I've seen the piles that she's referring to. They were there over 3 years ago, and it's unclear of who it actually belongs to. But Tank's report this week confirmed it with great clarity for those that read between the lines. Plus, there was two other major backtrackings from there in the past week. And I guess 11 months after sacking me from the trust position for no reason or reasoning is now coming home to roost. But for me personally, it has brought much advancements. And her talking of that slag heap is suggestive she cannot access the cash reserves assets within the system anymore, or the other physical assets either. I know both exist. I have records of one of them, and also how much the trust personally has to gain for admin fees. Now, I wish it was all different, but it's not. Which leaves us with only one option, which has been around for 5 years now, the People's Club. And the gist of that Zoom call is to re-energise the TPC movement, which was badly stalled due to the split with the trustee last year. Time has moved on, near 11 months now, in fact it's over 11 months, and the promise of trust funds coming to anyone currently is disappearing into the mist. And if the trustee couldn't get the funds out with Trump, there is even less chance with the Democrats. They don't like her very much, and have made attempts on her life in the past. We waited 4 years for Trump, Q and the trustee to deliver. None of them did, despite the sterling efforts at that time of Kim and also her team. But waiting 4 years for Trump to rise again, when he delivered nothing to the people in the previous 4 years, is pure folly. The current administration will need to be challenged and made accountable like never before, and that applies in other countries also. And the need for a combined people's group and platform now should be obvious to you all. We have no say in life or matters that affects all of our lives. We're not connected together within a tight-knit community, all spread out across the internet with similar goals, but nothing concrete with which and how to go about things. Now, this is not just for THI members and listeners. This will be open to all people, all colours, all religions and all groups to come and combine with ideas, ideals and new improved methods of going about things in one giant community and cooperative based group. It is not a group with a figurehead. It is your group. The old system has collapsed, and yet what hasn't yet developed is what we, that's us, replace it with. If we don't replace it with something better, the old system will rise again and provide their system for us, and you all know how that works. We can build, for the first time in history, our own faction, the people's faction, our own empire, our own system, operating in a better way than all has gone before us. We the people have never had a voice or say in anything on this planet. Why? Because too many were all too content to allow others to run things for them. That is adult children behaviour. And we've all been guilty of that. Myself included. This group will be built upon adults being adults, future thinking, cooperative thinking and mindset. What do we need, not what we greed. A caring and sharing group that benefits the all. It's not designed to make anyone a millionaire, build their own individual empires of greed-based ownership, comparative or competitive-based people. None of those worked for us in the past, so why would we replicate it? Well, we're not. Not much of the old system worked for us, so we are tasked with developing and creating a system that does work for us. The old systems and programs all need to go. You know why the remnants of the old system continue to carry on? Because we haven't stepped up and provided a viable alternative. They know their time is up, but they're not going to hand it to us on a plate like parents feeding their children again. We have to take it back. And once we do, they are doomed forever. Because once we get millions operating within the TPC and adhering to the guidelines, they cannot stop us. Because we always had the power, we have the numbers, and we have a clearer path of where we are going and heading. And I'm asking you all to get on board fully and let's build this together. The groundwork is done. Now is the time for expansion. Now, to accommodate the TPC revamp, this is what I'm proposing. At the same time, this is a revamp of the thinkdifferent.thepeoplesclub.org website. There will be no more THI, Truth, Honour and Integrity, on that page. The THI Shows has its own page now with all the archives and the links. We are introducing a new concept that in essence replaces the state groups we formed, but I'm not against the state groups' gatherings continuing. As once this takes off, it will revert to state-by-state involvement again anyway. And participation in these gatherings is not dependent on joining or listening to THI anymore. It is an open group of like-minded people coming together with the goal of improving life, lives and lifestyles. So this way you can encourage your friends, family and work colleagues to join in, and we increase the numbers and the standing of our venture. Now, the reason for the disconnect from THI is there is content in our shows that goes way beyond the understanding of most of this country. And just one controversial subject, whatever it may be, will be enough for a non-doer to find an excuse to not participate. And there are far more non-doers than doers. And they'll seek any excuse to not do anything. These are the people who chase papers with numbers on and saviour programmes. And a lot of work needs to go into this, the bulk of which has been on my shoulders to this point, but now I need people to step up in whatever way possible. Now, there are assemblies running around from two groups, and their validity, as mentioned recently, is highly questionable at this point, and possibly illegal, I am informed. So I pondered on committees, but that is more core pirate terminology, and so I came up with a new description for our groups, communal gatherings. Now, there will be a one-off subscriber fee of $2 to join the site, but we will encourage all people who join to put in whatever amounts they can afford in each month. That all goes into helping each other within the communal gatherings. All subscription funds will go to the TPC. Now, the communal gatherings will be a choice, your choice of participation, a chance for you to be involved with like-minded people in topics that interest you. And these gatherings are designed for you all to come up with actionable events, things that can be done by us all without waiting for funds. Because most of the changes we need can be done by little to no funds. Now, obviously, we have the TPC funds, and where possible, we will endeavour to continue to support members, small projects and equipment where required, based on validity and availability of funds. But the idea is to increase the awareness of the People's Club, and how, if we get thousands chipping in each week or month, we can create our own jobs, businesses, developments and ideas from within our own communities. And this is your opportunity to be the change. We currently have no voice or designated platform with which to make and be the change we all wish to see. Now, once the database of subscribers has reached a reasonable figure, then emails for the communal gathering topics will go to the people in each topic to arrange a meeting and formulate your group. There is no need to select a leader. You are all pioneers and all leaders for this venture. But perhaps at first one person can coordinate all your gatherings, ideas and plans. Now, whilst this is for America and possibly Canada only at this time, I'm open to speaking with other countries or regions to set up their own gatherings under the banner of the TPC. Now, we have a lot of new members, despite events of the past 12 months, our membership and listeners has gone up quite a bit, over 20%. But if you're not familiar with THI or the TPC, I encourage people to watch the two TPC videos to understand what we are about and how you can be the change. And those two videos will give you the basic guidelines of the TPC and our memes of need, not greed, caring and sharing, cooperative, not comparative or competitive. They are the memes for us all to go forward with. Those seven words is our blueprint for real change. If we all adopt those thinking processes and attitudes to life and other people. Now, once you register and subscribe, a box will come up where it'll give you ask you to put in your first and last name, your county and state, and your email address. Now, there will be a login for members after they have subscribed, and a section for each communal gathering. Now, there is a drop-down box of select from this list your choice of communal gatherings, and I just came up with 8 for now. Law, taxes and finance, gardening, non-GMO food, activism, personal self-help, school curriculum, grant writing and fundraising, and housing and moving. There is also a suggestion box of other communal gatherings that you would like to see. Now, we do have the option of our own blog or posting site within the website. So members log on into the communal gatherings and then access their own group. Now, this allows the many who don't engage in social media that listen to our show to all join in as well. Now, the law section. First of all, I want to say I will not be involved in these communal gatherings. I have far too much else to do. But I will be instrumental when it starts off, because we have to get off on the right foot. Otherwise, we all start arguing over minor, stupid things, and it falls apart again. So I, as each communal gathering is set up, I will probably attend the first calls and maybe even other ones further down the line. But the likes of the law section, what I'm looking for people in there is, let's not argue over whether it's common or natural law, because both have drawbacks in their terminology, and let's build our own actionable law group. Preferably not based on Magna Carta's, reclaiming birth certificate funds, cancelling driver's licences, and not paying taxes. They are not actionable. If they were, it would have happened in the last decade, when all these common law groups were started. None of them have come to any sort of validity. Now, this will also become the law section, a support group that can give legal or law advice at a later date. And we can employ one person to give law support to members and the TPC on a commission basis, with the employee charging less than normal lawyers and a portion of the fee going to the TPC. Now, eventually we will need more than one person for that role, and those people will be designated as the official TPC law team, which protects the parent company as well as the members, and eventually the businesses as well. The grant writing team will be similar to law. If we have people available, and I know some of you have come forward, and competent to do it, then they will be the TPC grant team. And I'm open to the TPC paying for one or two people to attend a college course to learn how to do it and build a team of 3 or more grant writers. Now, that will involve a fair bit of research on the grant writer's behalf, of locating what grants will be available to the TPC and then applying them. Now, they will be paid based on commission of the grants being approved, and a small portion of each grant would go back to the TPC. The main grant would go to the project of whatever it was entailed. Now, taxes and finances, the same applies. As it stands, we have one designated TPC tax accountant, and I would like a few more as numbers grow. And the accountant would be able to do all your taxes each year for a low fee, and a small donation to the TPC would be included. Now, other sections that could be included in the finances are if people wish a financial review of their own personal finances. And people within the group can perhaps give ideas on how to improve everyone's situation, whether it's to do with loans, credit cards or mortgages. And there are several ways to improve all of our financial situations if people put in the time and wish to share their financial details with other members who can help, or we get a designated small financial help group for more privacy and charge a small fee to go to the TBC for the help provided based on what you can afford. So those three categories, law, finances and grant writing, would be our first employees of the TBC initially under a commission basis, but as we grow, permanent positions for people also. Now these gatherings, we need people acting like adults. Not the childlike manner some of the state and country groups exhibited. You know, it's okay if you don't like everyone. It's okay if you don't like me. I don't care. What I do care is if you're disrupting other people. But at least be civil and not ruin a group based on one or two people not liking each other. There's a higher calling here than personal, childlike squabbles. And it's also okay to disagree with certain topics or discussions, but the key is to find a common consensus to work with. And so agree to disagree and keep the focus on the goals of the group, not personal opinions or conflicts. Like I said, I'm open to Canada joining America in these communal gatherings until they build up their numbers there and create their own, should they wish to do so. Maybe European countries can copy the method and go forward together, and then split off into individual countries once their numbers are sufficient to go alone also. I think people doubted me when I said this was our last chance to combine and stop the onslaught of the weakened, aging psychopaths that are running the dying embers of the old system. If we wait long enough, the lower minions will take up the baton and we will end up with an Orwellian techno-based world that will benefit only those who comply. No one listens to this show is a complier, so that world is not going to be suitable for us. And I don't think many here now doubt that concern. Unless we fill the void, they will yet again fill it for us. And you're not only dooming yourselves, but your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren for many generations. Do you wish for history to look back on us as the generation that ended all freedoms, declared a weak and gutless generation, cowed by fear and insecurity, divisiveness and pettiness, or this was the generation that changed this planet once and for all into a better, more vibrant, caring and sharing and cooperative planet? Free of war, free of scarcity, free of abuse and free of the dog-eat-dog games played out on a daily basis around the world. This is your opportunity to quit crying about governments, cabals, faction, violence, unfairness and heinous crimes and do something about it. Not dabble at it like all of the groups, but put a genuine effort into making it work. Currently, we have no power due to divide and conquer. But if we build together, we become the force. a force to be reckoned with, as for the first time in history, should we succeed, we will have our own empire, our own faction, our own voice, and enforcement. Enforcement does not require guns. And all it takes is for the people to come together. Now, we're also launching soon a TPC sales website, and anyone can sell their goods or wares on there, like a TPC eBay, for want of a better term. And we will be adding other companies to sell their wares, for example, the Harold Tier Tech Boxes and a CBD oil company that wanted to advertise sales and give a portion to the TPC. Now, all sales on there will include a portion of the sale going to the TPC, which will be decided in a drop-down box by the seller. And a small fee will go to the designated website operator also. So this will be another paid position created within the TPC. Now, the TPC will not be held responsible for any issues between seller and buyer, damaged goods, non-arriving items, or any delivery issues. All sales and issues are solely the responsibility of the seller and the buyer, not TPC. Now, the website will be called TPC Sells and will be run by one of the members initially, but as it grows, we will add more operators to it for those who are skilled at it, and commission on sales will be shared. So essentially, say you have an item that you want to sell for $10, and 1% goes, or a selected percentage goes to the website person who's operating it, because they've got to input it all and take it all down and all that. And then another drop-down box, which will be the seller's choice of a commission to the TPC. You can put $1, you can put $8, you can put $9. It's your choice. But a portion goes to both. That way, we're creating this clockwise flow. Now, I've been busy with another project this past month or so, but I was waiting until the March Madness, or the potentials of it, to pass before launching into it. And much research has been done, and I'm now seriously looking into and perhaps launching a community gathering for TPC members, which will also be THI members. And in essence, it becomes the starting point of a THI-TPC community. It's not exactly the village we envisioned, but maybe that will come later. Now, the details of where, some of you know, it's in the northern New Mexico state. But several members are considering to move to that one location or region so we can be with each other and work together as a team. It's about 8 or 10 who have suggested they're moving. 2 are definite. The others are considering it strongly. Now, I located a subdivision that is around the Four Corners region, as I say, and it's a lovely site, nice energy vibe to it. The scenery's really good, and whilst ruralish, is close enough to a major town and airport for access and also groceries. Now, this estate currently houses only around 130 to 140 homes, with around 20 to 30 plots of land available for sale at around $27,500. And so you would have no land rent per month, you would own it. Now, there is 8 plots of land available so far at $27,500 each. Now, the cost to install foundation for the home can range from $5,000 to $10,000, depending on whether you are zoned for piers or a slab foundation. And all the homes on there currently are manufactured homes and are priced between $80,000 to $150,000 if purchasing in an existing home, although others can be more expensive depending on what you require. Now, I've also visited a manufactured home company that specializes in bank repo manufactured homes that are fully remodeled. And the cheapest fully remodeled homes with kitchens and bathrooms all complete is $87,000 for a 3-bed, 2-bath home and $91,000 for a 4-bed, 2-bath home. Everything is ready to move in. Now, the cost of the home is inclusive of delivery, installing on the foundations on your land, inspections, hooking up the water and septic tanks if within 20 feet of the home, and there is no sales tax, no closing costs, and in-house financing. Now, the homes are remodeled using 2x6 studs, which is better than the average home of 2x4, and they come with shingle roof with a 30-year lifespan. So for a piece of land and the home, the cost is $119,000 plus the cost of the foundation and the setup of the utilities. And the land can be bought with 20% down, which is $5,500. And the payments on that would be around $107 a month. Now, the homes can also be bought with 5% down, but it's always better to put 20% down to avoid PMI, private mortgage insurance, and 20% down on the 3-bed is between $17,000 and $18,250. And they also have more high-end homes and a nice bed for a 4-bed for $140,000. Now, recently I received some settlement funds from my dad's estate, and I'm now looking to purchase a home that's just half to three quarters of a mile on that same estate. And that was going to house three THI members living together, but one pulled out, and the other two have agreed to go ahead. And they will be renting from me in that home, but the rent will be cheaper than anywhere else, because this is about members coming together and building the community. Now, the plan will be for me to move there as well eventually, but either way, I'm only 1 hour or so from that region for meetings in the meantime. Now, if other members wish to purchase lots and homes on that estate, come and join us. So I can help you with the details. I do not want to be sent any funds or any money. That is your deal to make, not mine. But I can help you with some of the logistics of it. Now, the area is not prone to hurricanes or tornadoes, extreme heat or cold, excessive winds or excessive snow either. And the taxes on that estate is around $271 a year without a slab foundation, and maybe around $500 to $800 per year with the foundation. So the cost of the $91,000 home with a down payment of $18,250 and your principal and interest at 3.5% over 23 years is $386 per month. So your monthly payments of loans on the land and home is a total of $495 per month, plus tax and insurance. And that's around the equivalent most pay for land rents on community or leasehold lands. Some of them are paying more, $700. There's no HOA fees either. Now, if you were purchasing one of these manufactured repo homes, some of them take around 12 weeks to be ready, so you have time to plan, but you must buy the land first and get the slab ready. All of these lots are around 1 acre. The smallest is 0.87 and the biggest is 1.41. They're all the same price. Now, included in the cost of the land is the septic tank. It's installed. It's already installed. And also the water pipeline is already installed and ready to hook up to the house. So the idea is this will become the launching pad for the THI/TPC community. And what I would like to see is we buy up all the homes as they become available and the whole estate become the village. Or we can encourage other homeowners on the estate to become part of the TPC. That's, in essence, is advertising. Personal advertising, explaining who we are, what we do. I'm sure there'll be quite a number interested. Now, single family homes in the region for those not wishing to be in a manufactured home in a village are reasonably priced within the whole region. Now, we will also be looking into applying for grants for rural land areas available in the region. As a non-profit, we can apply for them to take over the land and build on them. Now, there is a commercial plot at the end of the estate available for $50,000 for 25 acres. And again, we were looking to get grants for that and have possibly a TPC shopping mall and possibly also a charter school. Now, I have an update on that, as one member has expressed an interest to buy that 25 acre land and place it into the People's Club. So that's the update on that. Now, all members are welcome to come and live with us in the village. Like I said, there's lovely scenery and plenty of available plots to take over. And from there, we will kickstart the People's Club in a meaningful way. And the object is to have several of these centres strategically placed around the country. Now, there is no personal or financial gain to me doing this. What it does do is it creates more work for me. But this is an opportunity for us all to come together. Now, should the communal gatherings not take off as it should do? After 5 years of running the TPC for no pay, I will take the TPC company in a new direction and steer the funds from the TPC into the village project. You know, I've put a lot of work into the People's Club for no return. 5 years of filing, doing the taxes, collecting all the emails and responding. 5 years of keeping a database of all donations and the associated banking processes, all for no compensation. I wonder how many other people would run a company for 5 years and receive no pay. So that is my challenge to you all. If the communal gatherings don't take off like they should do, then I'm going to take the TPC in a different direction. And I wish this year for it to become more actionable and profitable so we can fund projects, ideas and ventures. This is us being the change. A change for us, a change for each other and a change for the wider picture. And like the old saying says, build it and they will come. Right, a couple of short pieces before the final piece. I've noticed several articles around the country now, as more and more parents are homeschooling, or even better, pooling funds together to have their own homeschooling classes. And this is a good thing. And maybe the charter school communal gathering can come up with a curriculum that is suitable, where we could record it and make it a proper lesson, either by a CD or DVD. But a couple of things develop from this consequence of actions, which in the long term will not help their system. Your child should receive better teaching, not education. That means training animals. They will no longer receive pro-pagan da and mind manipulation, and no longer be exposed to some of the abuse and harassment that goes on in schools, and it also may end the peer pressure culture. But there's one other thing. If suddenly a larger portion is now not relying on the state school system and self-funding, people in small towns will need to lobby their council for reduced property taxes, given the bulk of property taxes are to fund state schools. Now, I have no idea if that applies in all states, but I know the bulk of my property taxes in Florida was attributed to school funding, even though none of my family attended schools. Something for the activists' communal gathering to think about. But there was a couple of pointers from the MeWe chat for listeners to ponder on. And a lively debate was about families. You know, my experience with family overall was not too pleasant. Is it often the case the family do more damage to you than friends or work colleagues? Now, the point is, you can rail them for being nasty, uncaring, or worse, or use it as a springboard to develop the self. That way, they can't hurt you as much as previously, or at all if you develop fully the self-mastery skill. You know, I get why some have issues with families all too well, and the desire to prove them wrong, but that becomes a slippery slope. Your challenge is to prove to yourself, not others. That is comparative and competitive. Now, families can build or break you, but it's not them that is the cause of it. It is you for allowing it into and invading your space. One new member said this week: we will all be gone from our form someday and none of this will matter, in relation to the skullduggery that's going on around the world. But that attitude is why this planet is in a mess. And it's the equivalent of the "we're going to 5D crew. Don't do nothing as we're going to 5D. But if 5D exists, and it is a more advanced way of living, then those people will not be going there. It's that simple. Why? Because they haven't advanced themselves on 3D enough yet. Sitting around doing nothing as part of the weight club. And 5D has been turned into some sort of utopia world, yet no one knows where or whether it exists. They only think they know, because some agency or institute program made it up to distract people. Are there other planes of existence? Absolutely. That is why we are classed as multidimensional, and we can go to and operate on several planes of existence at the same time, including multiverses. But the point I'm thinking I'm making is not get fixed on one meme, because 5D appears to be another limitation program. Like, the sky is the limit. My reply to that is, which sky? But statements like, we will all be gone from our form someday and none of this will matter, is just plain wrong thinking. Everything matters on a soul level. The doers make progress on a soul level, regardless of what unfolds on the physical level. Non-doing or non-action is a waste of life. They are the reason we have cabals, poor governments, errant military, rogue agencies and secret societies, because people are all too content for them to run their lives. Badly, I might add. Which then allows the non-doer to play victim. The perpetual hamster wheel of a wasted life. And I can assure you, that never works out well for anyone. We'll be back with the final piece shortly. Final portion tonight. I've just got confirmation. I can now announce the thinkdifferent.thepeoplesclub.org website for subscribing to the People's Club is now live. And I'm asking for all members to sign up and become part of the change. And let's see some commitment with this and all get behind it. No matter which group you are connected to or with, this is all about us. And with regards to the communal gatherings, think of this as getting behind a concept, not the person or the group. It is our chance to grow and expand into a more doing aspect. And it is important that people come together and decide yours and our own future, regardless of what the dark forces plan or do. Their system's dying. We're tasked with replacing it with something better. And the people coming together is the key path to a brighter future, and one we must all endeavour to take. The very first show of THI, I tasked you all with the meme of think and act different. Many, if not all of you, I think the latter, are now thinking in a very different way than before you started listening to THI. And that pleases me greatly. But our next task we must all undertake to master as well as the thinking is, now we have to act different. That means us all challenging our own limitations and boundaries and pushing ourselves onto greater heights within ourselves and part of a collective. Twice in the last month, in fact it's three actually, I've had to rebuke members for labelling themselves as disabled. For those people, that must not be what defines you. Yes, you have an impairment, but that is still not what you are about. I also have a disability in this world. It's called common sense. It hampers you greatly when you dare to speak of it. But having a disability only hampers you in one aspect. It does not hamper you in all aspects. And so your focus shifts of I can't do this or that because I'm disabled, to I can do this and that despite being disabled. Just a simple shift of mindset allows big changes within yourself. That then pulls in another meme said in THI. You go from impossible to I'm possible. Or remove the D from disable to is able. Thanks, Carl. Just a slight shift. Is what we're undertaking daunting? Well, yes. But what is more daunting is sitting around watching stupid people and non-doers destroying theirs and our world. But Thomas, we are only a small group. How can we change the world? It's the ripple in the pond effect. Lots of small stones create lots more ripples. If those ripples build, you end up with a tsunami. But one of our members reminded me this week, who created the global control system? Large numbers of people? No. It was only a small handful of people who built their global control structure. Throw in some bribes, coercion, and playing on people's weaknesses did the rest. Throw in people all too content to be the unaging child like some mass archetypal Peter Pan, and the system was born. So if it only took a small contingent to build a global control structure, then it only takes the same to bring it down and replace it. It only took a few people to smash this system to smithereens, and I'm glad that I was a part of that. But now we have the task of rebuilding it in our image, not theirs. Which image do we create? Well, that is all laid out in the blueprints for a better humanity called the People's Club. We will change our image with need, not greed. There is plenty for all people's needs, but not for people's greed. Caring and sharing is a must in our new vision. It ends the haves and have not program. Cooperative, not comparative or competitive. We must learn to work together like the Cabal did. They all pulled together as one and made enormous progress. We have to do the same. Still don't believe a small group can change the world? I'll leave you with a reminder of a Steve Jobs quote to change your mind then. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. But the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Based on that piece, I'm just about as crazy as it gets. And I've been a part of changing this world already, because I dreamt and thought bigger. And I'm asking you, for all of you to search your hearts and minds and join me on our next challenge. Make this world a better place if you can. This has been the Truth, Honor and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. I'll see you all on Tuesday. And as Todd said, bye for now.